All right, normal Christian life, what is it? We've been in the book of Acts. We've been gypsying through Acts. I just can't wait to hear what Brother Rick has got for us with the story of Ananias and Sapphira today. And you'll hear it pronounced about three or four different ways. It's kind of like the first Toyota dealership in Savannah. The first commercial, they pronounced the word Toyota, Tokyota, and Toyota all on the same commercial. You're going to have Sapphira, Sapphira, Sapphira. You're going to hear it many different ways. I don't know what the Rictionary will say about that, but back to the titles. How God changes things through prayer. And if the book of Acts isn't about that, it's about nothing else. It is truly the Acts of the Holy Spirit. So turn your Bibles to Acts, the first chapter. We're going to kind of go back and forth in those first four or five chapters. But I want to begin with some questions. How did what happened in Acts 1 through 5, how did all that happen? How did it come about? Take a shot, somebody. Power of God, Jesus said it was going to happen. It was prophesied. Spirit of God's coming. So, all right, second question. What do you think those people's daily lives were like while all this was happening in those first five chapters? It was an I personality's dream. I mean, the dream that no day was the same. It was bingo, bango. Every day, get up the next, oh man, what's going to happen today? And no one had really told them that, but it was kind of acting out. Third question, how far would they go with this new thing? What's this new thing we're talking about? So we define terms. The way. Excellent answer, Bobby. The way. And what was the way? They were called people of the way before they were called Christian. In fact, remember the word Christian, the name Christian was a diminutive. That was a cut. It was making fun of. Little Christs. What the word means. So how far would it go with them? How many of the 11 that were left died a martyr's death? And there's some back and forth even about John, you know, with the historical accounts. Did they have a smile on their face? You better believe it. Fourth question. What is the picture of prayer that we derive so far in these first five chapters? What picture of prayer do you get? Unity. Unity in the Spirit. Whew. Boy. What an attack on. Brought power. What kind of power? What evidences of power do you see? Dunamis power. Dynamite kind of power. Where we get that word dynamite. They got a dose, and then, man, it wasn't just a vaccine to keep them away. In fact, you know, if you look at the American culture, most of what we give out is a vaccine. Just enough to get you inoculated. And then, you know, but dodging the full-blown disease. Boy, these people eat up with it, weren't they? Were they perfect? Did they have problems? All right. Let's go to, let's see what the Bible says here. And we're going to read two bookend passages in the first five chapters, okay? So someone stand up and read this. This is from New American Standard, Acts 1, 12 to 14. Just stand up in your big outside voice and read it. Before you sit down, I want you to read 14 again with gusto and emphasis on the correct syllable. Thank you. All right? What's significant about that verse 14? There's stuff that just hops out of that like an open box full of bunny rabbits. What just jumps out of that verse 14 at you? These all, who's the antecedent of these? All the ones that are listed before. I won't steal any more thunder. So what else do you see? But there's more to what you just said. All one. They were together. Is that unusual? Had they experienced some unity before? Spending at least the 11 that there or mentioned there, spending these 3 years with Jesus. Had they had some fights before? Had they gotten in some arguments before? Had they been at one another's throats before? Had they been dividing up the kingdom before? Had their mamas been dividing up the kingdom for them before? Oh, that's true. All right, what else bust out of this verse 14? So what would be a buzzword you could use for that continually devoting? Man, we use this word all the time. It's one of the buzzwords of every seminar that you go to. If you don't hear the word intentionality, you haven't been to a seminar, have you? All right, you've got to have intentionality about this. You've got to be, and of course the other one is missional. You know, all these words that we create, you know. Too bad the Rictionary isn't in here. He could give us some more. He got some very creative ones that he finds out from his students over at Savannah State when they're writing their papers. They are very entertaining. All right, what else? Don't miss a biggie here. Woo, man. Lord, save us from that. The women, what's unusual about this? Because when they went to synagogue, what happened? Woo, you're over here and you're over here, never the twain shall meet. So it's the one that ever had any children. There was such separatism. So, man, all of this just screams a new normal. But see, this became the normal Christian life for them. All right, let's go to the next passage. Thank you, John. We're down, we've had the, this is bad, but, you know, that they were, you know, Ananias and Sapphira were slain in the spirit in a very negative way, literally. All right, somebody, Carol, I detect that you would like to read this. Woo, man. So, what's similar in this Acts 5 with what we read in Acts 1? What's the similarity? One accord, men and women together, miracles are happening, salvation, more and more people. All right? Part B of the question. And what is, I wouldn't say it is, not the word different, but what is more that is happening here than in Acts chapter 1? Here's another, hold on to it, Bethy. They're peddling their influence and the influence of the Lord. They're using it. I mean, pedal to the metal, everything they got. Boom! They're in. They've thrown their whole weight. All right, Bethy. So, what had just happened before this paragraph? Rick's going to preach on it. Yeah, Ananias and Sapphira, they you know, they lie to the Holy Spirit and bam, bam. And so, what is the undercurrent of what Bethy's talking about here that has been created there in addition to? Seriousness, what do you say, Bethy? Fear God. That holy awe, that reverential awe. And yes, they have come up against opposition. One of the earliest things after my dad became a Christian, which by the way, if you didn't read my Facebook post this week on Thursday prayer, read it there. It's worth the read about my daddy. But one of the first things, the first spiritual truth after he became a Christian that I remember learning from him, one day I was crying in my Pepsi Cola about something, and I was disappointed, and he came in to encourage me, and he said, "Son, if you're not running into the devil, you're going the wrong direction." Boy, you know, it was like a coach. Well, he was my coach at the time. That was a little pep talk. I need that pep talk to see what was happening, like Bethy's talking about, to know, hey, we're going to run into opposition. All right, what else in addition that is happening? I'm going to use two words. I'm going to use the word descriptive and prescriptive. Now, why would I use those two words about this passage? Descriptive and prescriptive. Dun, 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 dun. What is Western Christianity indicted for and guilty of over and over and over again. Fake it till you make it. Oh, that happened over here. We'll do it over here. True story. Went to when I was working on my last degree in seminary, we're in these small seminars. It was great. It was great. You get, it'd be 7, 8, 10 guys that'd be in a little, and we'd have a professor, but he really wouldn't lecture. We would just present position papers, and you'd stand up there and present it, and they'd bust your behind. I mean, just pow! You better have your act together, or you're going to get nailed. I mean, just, and you better be ready to defend what you're writing and back it up. So I've got this great idea, and I go to the guy who was over our seminar, and he had been a pastor. I'd had him in my master's level before. Great lecturer, great teacher. He had been everywhere, done everything. He knew the denomination. He knew everything. So I went to him. And I said, "Man, I said, Prof, I got this great idea about marketplace evangelism." And so I kind of spit it out to him, and it was the germ of what would become my thesis project. But so I laid out to him. He said, "Dusty, son," he said, "that's a great idea." He said, "just don't let the denomination get a hold of it." Now, why would he tell me that? Well, he had a pregnant pause there and let me think about it, you know. And he was playing that music I was playing for you just a moment ago. Just see if I would get it. He said, "because, ... after a while, the Holy Spirit won't have anything to do with it." So keeping the main thing, and letting the signs and wonders be descriptive and not prescriptive. Letting the manner in which it happens just happen. Because some of that we hadn't imagined yet. We couldn't imagine. I was busting on digital a while ago. Let me build digital up a little bit now. We could not have imagined, you know, when I was a child that you'd be able to, well, I don't, oh, I've got the iPhone 10 right here. All right. Yeah, we couldn't imagine using one of these things and everything's right here. Right here. Man, I can contact, I can call somebody in the world. In fact, I can get somebody their picture and talk to them. Finley, my 2-year-old grandson. So we're talking on the phone to Megan. We have her on, have it on speakerphone. She's got her phone on speakerphone. And Finley, Megan just starts, she's giggling on the other side. She says, "You know what he's doing?" I said, "No, darling, I can't see what he's doing. Tell me what he's doing." He said, "He keeps looking into my phone. He's trying to find your face, you and Gamma's face." Because what does Finley expect now? FaceTime. That's why he's cutting his teeth on that. He's got that picture thing. We do well to think about all this stuff as we're reaching people, as we're seeing signs and wonders take place. Do y'all believe in signs and wonders? Had a fellow stand right here in this spot, right here, who you couldn't hardly understand. He came here to do a micro business seminar. His name was CY. Gary Clark. And I don't know if y'all, most of you probably wouldn't remember. This is Linda and Susie's first cousin. He passed away this week, 62 years old. Probably had a heart attack in his sleep. But here's a guy that Gary came down here, spent most part of the week with us just to train him in how to train others in this micro business thing. My point in all of that, CY stood right there at that point, and gave us a testimony of the power of God and signs and wonders. And what was the one that got your attention that he shared? You remember? Yeah. Saw a person out in one of the villages raised from the dead. God can do it. And he does do it, and he's still doing it. He didn't quit doing it. Let's move on. types of prayer we see so far. Now, I gave you those two passages as illustrative of the first five chapters of Acts and what's going on. Gave you the bookend passages, okay? And you see the theme of it, and you see how it's just mounting and mounting and mounting and mounting and mounting, okay? So, here's some types of prayer. There was hearing prayer. Where was their hearing prayer? Where they're hearing from God. First five chapters. Got your Bible? Where was their hearing prayer? I'm not going to write it out for you. Just say it. What was it? At Pentecost, they had to hear from God. Before that, what did they have to do? What's the whole thing with 120? What were they doing? There's somebody serving them hors d'oeuvres? You know, let's have some Pentecost hors d'oeuvres. Get ready, you know, what was left over from Passover. First fruits, we'll have that. And that. No. They're hearing from God. Now listen, like second kind, direction prayer. When did they need a direction prayer? When would they pray that? All right? Getting someone to sit in for Judas? Where else? Some of the prayers are intimated, not directly spoken of in those first five chapters. What do you reckon Peter and John were doing when they were in prison? They're praying for direction, I would bet. And as soon as they get out, last Sunday morning we talked about right here, 9:30. As soon as they got out, the group's waiting on them, and what happens? Yes, sir. And it's just this, it's a spontaneous prayer. Number three, power prayer. When do we see a power prayer? When was a power prayer? A guy lame from birth that's been sitting there for probably a decade. All of them knew this guy. All of them knew his faith. They knew his malady. They knew he was stuck in that for the rest of his life. They knew nothing would ever come of good. They knew he would be a beggar the rest of his life. By the way, I got something for the future I'm going to share with you about that, about beggars. Power prayer. Were there other places where power prayer took place? How about when these leaders of the Sanhedrin all just kind of, I hate to use this word because it's going to distract some of you and some of you are going to think I'm evil by using this word, but that way, where they just magically, their attitude is that they release them. How about that? Is that power of God? All these people being saved, is that power of God? All right, fourth thing. Salvation prayer. How often do we see that taking place? We see two big ingatherings, don't we? At least by this time, of thousands. Number five, healing prayer. How often that's taking place? Oh, I can't get to him for him to touch me. If I could just get out there and get the sun right in the shadow, boom. Why do you think they did that? Just speculate. I don't know the answer to this. But why do you think they did that? Somebody probably watched. Oh, man, the shadow just came over him. And oh, that guy got up and walked. Oh, man, we've got a new seminar on how to get into the shadow and receive the healing. 10 points, we got books, outlines, CDs, you know, MP3s. We're going to have it out there. All right, and finally, deliverance prayer. Why would I say deliverance prayer? We just read Acts 5 and whatever that last verse was. Go back to that, John, if you can. That Acts 5, okay? Somebody read 16 for us in your big outside voice. Unclean spirits, what are we talking about here? Demons possessed by demons. Are people in the West possessed by demons? You better believe it. Demons don't stay in third world countries. Come on. Let's manifest differently. So there was deliverance prayer. Okay. All right. Now, unity prayer with the Holy Spirit and with each other. Here in Acts 4, 23 and 24, it says, and when they'd been released, remember we read this, taught on this last week, when they'd been released, they went to their own companions, reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them, and when they heard this, they lifted their voices to God with one accord, this spontaneous prayer, O Lord, it is you who have made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, and then the rest of that prayer. So, what does this say to us? All this that we've been talking about. Prayer. Here's some applications for us. Prayer was an understood chosen vehicle of communication. That was understood. Nobody had to stand up on a stump and say it. It was understood. It was understood. Just like it's understood something as easily as we're going to come here with clothes on and not come in here buck naked. That's understood, right? That didn't exist. It was not putting something off into the indiscriminate future. It's now. All right, same thing. Prayer is not for the select few, but for all. There's great redundancy in prayer. Not just a few. It's for all. Not just the ones who have the gift of intercession. It truly is a gift of intercession, and we see that. Number three, prayer was a must for all, but for some, it was a have to. Now, in that, I'm distinguishing for those who'd have the gift of intercession. It's a must for all, but a have to for those who are the intercessors because they lead the way. Lead the way in prayer. It's like any other gift. Someone has a gift of evangelism. They're leading the way in that. Someone who has a prophetic gift. Someone who has a gift of exhortation. All of these are for the whole body. And it's for the building up of the body and seeing the kingdom expanded. All right, number four. Ministry of intercessory prayer in the New Covenant is birthed at and following Pentecost. We see this whole thing developing about how intercessory prayer is birthed in the church, in the body. And it's such a, people prayed before, but not in this way. That there is the power, because the power of the Holy Spirit is loose on all the body, not a select few. Big, big difference there. Number five, question. Who are you in prayer? What's your identity in prayer? Right now. What's your carbon footprint in prayer? Right now. Is it distinguishable? Listen to me. There's been no move, genuine move, of revival, of renewal in the body of Christ since Pentecost that has not been preceded, immersed in, and carried on by prayer. Doesn't exist. There's not one. Historically, you can't come up with an example because it doesn't exist, because it is so integrally interwoven in knowing the mind of Christ and being a part of Him. It's our communication with Him. And it's one of these and two of these. One of these, two of these. That's God's economy when it comes to prayer. Number six. What will you look like in 3 months if you take hold of these truths? Would it radicalize your life? You won't be the same person. Now, do you want to change or not? You want to sit on your laurels? Sit till He comes to get you? However that is. Or you want to play the game. You want to get out there and be on the field. Tired of sitting on the bench? Time to get in the game. This is part of the game we can all get into. Henry Blackaby is one person God used to revolutionize prayer more than any other person, bar none, that is out there today, with one truth that he shared for his life. And this was it. When you pray, start looking for the answer right now. Now, God sovereignly used Henry Blackaby and experienced God and so many other things but that one kernel right there has changed everybody. Evangelicals, charismatics, Pentecostals, mainliners, Roman Catholics. You know, every one of those groups that I've named have used his manual, Experiencing God. Nobody else has their manuals being used by all those different groups. Why? Because he got to the essence of it. There it is. And he would have gladly told you the Lord gave me this. Number 7, if we take hold of this, these truths for 3 months, what will a church look like? Church won't be the same either. All right, so let's pray. Why don't you get one other person who is near you, and here's the prayer that somewhere in your prayer for each other, going to give you a couple minutes to do this. So you need to get busy. No fellowship, and this is time for prayer. Pray over that person and ask God that He will bring these truths that we've talked about to that person that you're praying for. All right? Let's do that right now.